welcome to Climate Queens. This is a podcast to raise awareness about the effect that we as humans are having on our shared planet and what we can do about it. We'll be covering everything from what even is global warming, fast fashion, the minefield that is recycling, and everything in between. We are no experts. We are just two Dublin gals who met volunteering and have been best pals ever since. So who are we? Katie is obsessed with the outdoors, with a background in food marketing, but her ultimate passion is to save the world one step at a time with a cup of tea in hand. You know me so well. And Clodagh is a plant-loving, social entrepreneur, climate activist, who is a big fan of hot beverages also, and sea swimming. So join us on the last Friday of every month to channel your inner climate queen. And don't forget your cup of tea or coffee. Welcome to our third episode of Climate Queens. We are just back from the weekend at Body and Soul Festival, so we are feeling a little shell-like, but we had the best time. We recorded this episode live on the Saturday at the Living Lab area run by Native Events, who are a sustainable events company who curated a stellar lineup of panels, bops, and loads of conversations. We had an absolute blast. Thank you to everyone who popped by and took part in our conversation all about single-use plastic and reusable items. And big love to all the crew that joined us in a very creative session of the crown making. Shout out to Pat from Reusey, that's Reusey with a Z, for giving us an awesome goodie bag as the prize for the winners of the best crown. And just to highlight that this episode was recorded live, so the sound quality may be a smidge different, but the content is still great. Especially because we were joined by the head of operations at Body and Soul, Megan Best herself. So we really hope you enjoy it as much as we did. Hi everybody!
Hello!
Come in! Hi guys, come on in. We're just going to have a few chats and a dance. So before we get into all of the kind of stats that will probably shock you, and I know it's very still early in the day and we'll all have a drink soon.
We need to have a bit
of a woo-woo for Body and Soul for banning single-use plastics, the sale of single-use plastics this year, which is awesome.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Yes.
So collective round of applause. So yes, we are going to be looking at kind of Ireland specifically, and back in January there was a documentary released called One Day, How Ireland Cleans Up. I don't know if anybody saw it. There were some pretty crazy stats actually that came from that.
It's really grim.
For example, in Ireland, every day we waste 1.5 million aluminium cans, 500,000 disposable coffee cups, and 220,000 plastic bottles. And the list goes on, like 1 million nappies. We put on 770,000 washes. We've got a lot. And no doubt myself and Clodagh will be covering a whole host of these at some point in our podcast. So our main focus, although we have a list of like tons of different things that we waste, is single use. And they are, those stats are quite scary. But the main issue with plastic, and I only kind of looked into this recently, is plastic was actually only created in the early 20th century by this dude called Leo Blakeland in the US.
So Blakeland.
At the time, Blakeland.
Okay, Lakeland.
No, not Blakeland.
Okay, that would have been good.
And so at the time, this was like an amazing invention. It was groundbreaking. However, they didn't think of a simple thing of what's going to happen to the plastic, like the end of life. How long is that going to stay around for? So they had this amazing invention, but didn't think about what is going to happen to it. So we're going to get into that in terms of how long plastic actually stays around for. And yeah, it's all a bit, it's a bit scary. So in terms of single-use plastic, 8 million tons of single-use plastic are disposed in our oceans every single year, which is a lot. If we break that down, 50% of marine litter worldwide is single-use plastic. And apparently, now this is crazy, according to the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, 50%, what is it again? Oh yeah.
There'll
be more
plastic
in the ocean than fish
in
by 2050,
yeah.
Which is actually quite scary. And also, those fish, the chances are they've also ingested plastic.
Yeah, microplastics from our clothes, which are coming from our fibres and everything.
So that's, yeah, so, you know, it's a bit sad. But there's stuff that we can do about it. So myself and Clodagh have both, through different courses that we've done, found this, like, waste hierarchy. So, you know, when we all, like, we've all grown up, it's reduce, reuse, recycle is what we hear over and over again. To the point, for me anyway, it's lost a bit of meaning. But what this waste hierarchy does, it looks at putting something else in front of that, which is refuse. So it's refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle. And simply by bringing your reusables with you, like, for example, a keep cup, you know, to a coffee shop, you are refusing that disposable item. So it's just another way of thinking and reframing things. And it's definitely worked for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, absolutely. And my background is actually in design, and you have to rethink your design process from the get-go. You know, that has to be part of the thing. It's not just all on us as the consumers, really.
Yeah, exactly. So the first thing to look at in terms of the single-use items is...
Show us your spork.
Okay, I'm going to look for this spork.
Can someone come up with a better word for spork? No?
It just sounds very...
Yeah. It's a weird word, right?
Is this it?
Fryfe.
A fork knife.
A fork knife.
Yeah, but it's a spoon.
Spoon
and a fork.
More nice.
So this is the spork. So, Clodagh, in terms of, like, what we're preventing and saving and what goes into a disposable item like a plastic spoon or a plastic spork, or a plastic fork, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I mean, we watched a great, like, 3-minute piece from Greenpeace, and the journey of the humble spoon. Okay, so instead of, imagine you're in your office or wherever you are, and you're making your cup of tea, and instead of us just using a stainless steel spoon and washing it, we have to go through this whole process. So we're extracting natural resources. The oil is coming from, it's actually made from petroleum. Mm-hmm. So coming from the ground, and then these get melted into pellets called nurdles, and then they get shaped into spoons, and the spoons get put in a box, and the box gets wrapped in plastic, and the plastic box gets shipped on overseas, and then it gets to our stores, and then we drive it home maybe, and then we use it for 5 seconds in our coffee. Like, is that not a bit extreme?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sporks should be our friends, right?
And I think it's like a lot of things that... you know, when it comes to even fast fashion or food, I feel like we've all, now, this is speaking for me anyway, but I don't know if you guys would agree, we've kind of lost the connection with the journey of things. And, you know, where have things come from? It's just there, and it's just all about convenience. It's definitely
Absolutely.
The time of convenience. So it's just about thinking about where that fork and spoon has come from and thinking twice, you know?
So choose to reuse your fork
and
your
refuse
spoon. Yes,
refuse by using your spork. So, and then in terms of plastic bottles,
has anyone got a plastic bottle with them?
We won't shame you.
We're not going to shame you, I promise. can you hold up your plastic bottle?
Let's see if you have
anyone?
One we need to see. Okay, right,
what no one's got a plastic bottle. Well, that's pretty great, but like, oh, okay,
we're gonna edit that bit out anyway.
Okay, so wow, okay, yes. So any size plastic bottle, a quarter of that is the amount of oil it takes to make. So fill that bottle with a quarter of oil, and that's how much it takes to make one plastic bottle. That's a lot of oil just for one bottle, right? So even if it's a 2-liter, it's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, if we are to look at some good things that are being done in terms of plastic bottles, Deep River Rock?
Yeah, Deep River Rock have just announced they will produce 100% recycled plastic. So that's intended to remove 500 tons of virgin plastic. But then we dig deeper, and River Rock is owned by Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Who have zero intention of switching from plastic. So we really need to refuse. And
I found a crazy stat yesterday.
Okay,
which
go.
Was, yeah, are you ready? Now, you don't know this, because
I
did
surprises.
This. I did my own private research.
Secrets?
So
like, who are you?
Do I even know you? Apparently, every year, Coca-Cola produce 120 billion plastic bottles. And if you were to line them up, like, bottom to top, that would be enough plastic bottles to wrap around our entire planet 700 times.
Every year?
Every year. Isn't that insane?
Oh, I don't like these stats.
And like, as much as it's great that they've got Deep River Rock looking at this and recycled plastic,
you know, we actually just can't recycle ourselves out of this environmental crisis. Like, we just can't. There's too much plastic.
But also keep recycling. You know, don't not recycle at the same time.
Yeah. But just that there's, you know, to think of that hierarchy in terms of refuse as the first thing, that definitely helps.
Yeah. And that plastic bottle, okay, how long do you think it would take for that to degrade in landfill? Anyone? Throw a number.
We'll buy you a drink if you're right.
200 years. Up. 10,000. Ah, come on. Who are you? 1,000 years. We're going down. Come on. 500. Oh, so close. Oh, down again. 499. Sold. No. It's 450 years to degrade for one bottle, which is really sad. So definitely do put it in the recycling bin, you know.
And you said this crazy thing to me the other day, which was about our first toothbrush.
Yeah, so everyone here, your first toothbrush, since you were yay high, still exists somewhere in landfill. Or I think a third of it has been incinerated, but the two-thirds is just sitting in landfill.
So we should all go on some sort of scavenger hunt to find our first toothbrush.
Yeah, we could geotag them. Let's see.
Oh, but that is really scary. Sad. That just shows how long plastic is hanging around for.
Yeah. I mean, we really need to rethink everything. I looked up my secret stash this week. Okay, so Chennai actually ran out of water this week. Like, they have run out of water.
So Chennai's in India,
right? In India, exactly. So, like, here we're in a position of privilege. We're talking about, you know, we all have eco-anxiety. We're experiencing the psychological effects, whereas we're not directly experiencing the impact of, you know, what's actually happening to the planet.
Yeah.
So we really need to, you know, advocate for people. And we are, I think in Ireland, we produce 61 kilograms of waste per person per year.
Yeah.
Which is huge. So we're like the worst in Europe for plastic waste.
Yes.
So we really are laggards, to quote the Taoiseach, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, speaking of the government, it shouldn't just be up to us as individuals to make a difference. Like, I think there is a lot of pressure on us as individuals to make change, and we obviously should, and it's a great way to feel empowered, but at the same time it is policy based and it is up to our government, so we do need to use our voices. But if we look at what our government have done and what they're going to do, so one amazing thing that our government did do, which is in 2002, if everybody remembers, the plastic bag levy. That was incredibly successful and actually reduced plastic bag use by 90%. So we saved 1 billion plastic bags from that tax. So, but that was 17 years ago.
Yeah.
So we were trailblazers at that time. And I feel like our government have just been kind of sitting on that.
Yeah, they're still talking about it.
Yeah. But in terms of what we are going to do, the Climate Action Plan was announced this week. So
yes,
tell us more, Clodagh. Oh.
Okay, well, we haven't read it in depth, so hands up. But we did have a quick scan, and but the first thing we need to know is that we're paying 150 million euros in fines for targets for greenhouse gas emissions that we haven't met for 2020. So, like, what else could have that 150 million euro been put to? Housing, healthcare, things like we actually need. So, you know, that's a starter, and it's going to keep going up. Mm-hmm. So the Climate Action Plan, it's kind of being heralded as an ambitious plan, but I think Breed Smith said that it's just a plan about a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to take more action. So that's definitely in the right direction, and people, they're listening, and, you know, there's such great groups and, like, grassroots movements coming up. But it's taken all these, like, NGOs and, like, people to come together. So we need to keep collective action going. Mm-hmm. But they want to commit to ban specific single-use items like polystyrene, which is great. I don't know when that's going to happen. It's in the works. But they want to eliminate non-recyclable plastic and impose higher fees on the production of materials that are difficult to recycle. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of materials that are difficult to recycle, everybody knows the infamous coffee cup. So
not your friend.
Not your friend. So I actually only found this out like 3 years ago, that there's a film on the inside of a coffee cup. It's like a wax film that prevents it from being recycled. So when we talk about single-use plastic, sometimes they can be recycled if put in the right bin. These can't even be recycled. So they all end up in landfill. And in terms of Ireland, so I just mentioned that previously, that every single day we throw out, I think it's 528,000 disposable coffee cups. So that actually works out as 22,000 an hour, which is mad. Because I was like, okay, so, you know, as an individual, sometimes you're like, well, what's the point of me bringing my keep cup? What actual difference is that making? So I wanted to make myself feel good, and I calculated. So I get a coffee every single day. So I've realized that's why I can't afford to go on holiday. But I brought my keep cup every single day, and that actually works out as I've saved 225,000 disposable coffee cups from landfill. Woo! And
how many people are here?
That's just me. Okay, so there are about 150 people here.
Yeah, there's 1,000 people here right now. Yeah, it's going real well.
No, okay, let's say there's 30. No, is there 30? 50? Okay, 60 well, people. I only have the calculation for 50. So let's
we're really good at math, okay?
I'm like, let me just quickly do this in my head. So 50 people. So, okay, so if everybody here for 1 year brought their keep cup every time they got a coffee every day, if you're like me and are a coffee fiend, we would save 127,750 coffee cups from landfill collectively, just as 50 people.
And that's only one coffee a day. I mean, I have three.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
So that's something just a little something positive to think, you know, we could do.
Yeah. And I do think that it is something that people are like, well, what's the point? And what difference can I make? But speaking from my experience, just by bringing my keep cup every day, using my reusable water bottle, you do have a positive effect on the people around you. Like even your friends and your family, my work colleagues are now coming in with all of their keep cups and stuff. And, you know, it's not about being preachy, but it's just about doing and taking ownership of your own actions and feeling empowered through that. And I think there's one of those quotes that's going around at the moment. It's not about a few people doing this perfectly. It's about millions of people doing it imperfectly. So there's no right or wrong way. Just try, I guess, is the message.
Okay, so we'd like to invite Megan. Is Megan still here?
Woo! Megan.
Please come and welcome Megan.
I just want to get closer to you.
Oh, thanks.
I can't lose
Megan is... Head of operations, I want to say. Ooh, that's
Megan,
here's a
mic for you because we need to share.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, ladies.
Hi. We forgot our good news stories. Okay, we'll do it after because Megan's here. No, Megan's here. She's waiting.
Hi, everyone.
Patiently.
I am Megan.
Woo! So Megan wears many hats.
I do.
Megan, okay, tell us your title for Body and Soul.
I'm the operations manager for Body and Soul. I've been working here for 10 years, so this year we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome to our birthday party.
Yay! And there was cake! There was even cake
there
earlier.
Was lots of cake.
I'm sorry you missed the cake. But you get crowns. You get crowns.
There is still some cake, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody like a slice of chocolate cake? We have some in the corner.
Ooh. Getting all the things today. So this is celebrating 10 years of joy.
10 years of joy and surprises.
Oh.
There have been a few surprises.
Sleepless nights.
Sorry.
Sleepless nights.
Plenty of those too, yeah.
Before we get into this, I just want... this is the theme of the soul animal.
Okay.
So this year, so they have like 10 different characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you'll see them up on poles all around the Reckless arena.
Yeah. So we were wondering... I was thinking about this. My soul animal would be a seal, I feel, because I'm like a playful, like a puppy, very impressionable, but also mad for the sea. And I think Katie is a turtle, maybe. So we have to save the turtles. So everyone has to be really nice to Katie. We were doing what your soul animal is.
I've been told that I'm a snow leopard. I don't know if that's true.
Snow leopard.
I'm willing to take it. I'm not going to argue with that.
Very stealthy.
I love it.
You reckon?
We have proof over here. So I guess... Would you tell us about your story? How did you come to Body and Soul?
Sure. So I actually volunteered at Body and Soul here the first time it was here in Ballinlough 10 years ago. And it was a very small festival then. It was only like 1,800 people. The day I arrived down, the production team asked me if I had any experience managing car parks, to which I hadn't. But they hadn't. They had kind of overlooked recruiting a car park manager, so they asked me to do it anyway. By the end of the day, they offered me a role as the volunteers coordinator for Body and Soul. I did that for a couple of years, and then I was recruited to assistant site manager, and then site manager, and now Mikey Sorrow, who I'm giving a shout out to over there. is our site manager now, and I'm the operations manager. So within that, I oversee site, event control, licensing, sustainability, volunteers, all of the nuts and bolts to make the thing happen. All of the pretty stuff and the music, I actually genuinely don't know that much about. I'm sorry.
Someone makes that happen.
And in terms of native events, specifically...
Events. To give a little introduction to Native Events, again, our pal Mikey Sorrow founded Native Events in April 2017.
Hiding behind a plant pot.
Hiding behind the best place. And Native Events is Ireland's pioneering sustainable event production company. So we're kind of partnered on that as well. A lot of the crew that are from Native Events are here. Represent! So Native Events produces the Living Lab at Body and Soul every year, and we have a workshop in town where we run a little creative hub, and it's all about recycling, upcycling, and trying to do things in a better way. This stage itself, in case anybody didn't realise, is entirely being run by Solar here. So we're doing our bit. So, yeah.
That's amazing. And in terms of your experience, because you have done this for so long, what sort of changes have you seen across the festival sphere when it comes to sustainability? You know, has it always been something that has been important? And like, kind of what change have you seen?
Like, speaking from the perspective of Body and Soul, we've always had sustainability as a big part of what we do. We launched our sustainability strategy here 6 years ago, if I'm right. And we've that was called the Us and You campaign. So if anybody's staying in Us and You, shout out to you. So the Us and You is about what we do internally as a team and as an organisation, and then reaching out to our attendees in terms of what they can do. So the Us and You campsite itself, obviously everybody who stays there signs up to respect each other and to leave the land as they found it. We've been doing a huge amount of work in the background here at Body and Soul. We've implemented smart power plans whereby we're trying to reduce the amount of diesel we use. Last year we had great success with that. We saved 21% of our diesel consumption. 17,000 less tons of carbon went into the air last year than the year before as a result of our work.
That's amazing. Well done.
Thank you.
Yes, shout
and
out.
Again, I think Mikey could probably take some credit for that.
Should Mikey
one.
Come up? Like,
no.
No interest. Fine.
Other initiatives that we've been running have increased our recycling rates as well. We're now at 65% recycling at Body and Soul, and our overall waste tonnage has reduced as well. So we've been working
That's
hard at
neat.
It.
That's what the government want to do in
exactly.
the real world. So,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. But Body and Soul have always been pioneers. We were the first festival to put in like a sanctuary area, a healing area. We've got well-being as part of our core ethos. And even the way festivals were dressed 10 years ago was never anything like this. Other festivals have come along and have kind of followed in that footprint. And we're great. We're delighted to be that kind of inspiration because it's changed the face of the scene and it's become a more integrated and intimate feel for festivals in Ireland now. But we believe that we were on the forefront of that.
And I guess to bring it back to the camping and the idea of the festival tent, it's so problematic.
Campsite waste.
I know. So even the idea that it's called a festival tent is promoting the idea that it's for one-time use. You use it once, you chuck it away, and it's not recyclable, right?
Tents are incredibly difficult to recycle. They're made of like maybe 5 different materials, so they are a mixed stream. There's also like fiberglass and everything else. We work very closely, obviously, with our waste partners here, Thornton's Recycling. And we actually did ask them to send the tents that they had picked up from our campsite to the incinerator, which they tried to do and shut down the plant for the day. Because when they try to go
what?
Through the shredder, they get caught up in all of the cogs. So every single tent that is left behind at a festival ends up in landfill. Can't even be recycled or broken down or anything.
Oh, my God.
So that's the bad news. There's loads of good news.
Yay! Oh, and so how many, like, so it's all plastic, and how much plastic is in one tent, do we know?
Yeah, I think there was a report in the UK that came out there, and I think it's probably roughly, I can't remember the figures off the top of my head, but it was somewhere between 150 and 200 plastic bottles in every single tent.
Oh my God.
Yeah, quite
I think
a
that's
lot.
What, 8,000 straws? As
yeah.
well? Oh,
exactly.
Okay, so bring back your tents, or like give it to your friend, please.
Just reuse them. Reuse them. Buy them and love them and hold on to them. That's the really key message.
Yeah.
A car tent, like the ones that are made out of cardboard, are again, they're single use. You'll use it once, you'll leave it behind. The amount of production. Actually, here's one. Do yourselves a favour. go home and watch a YouTube video about the production of a tent. See the amount of work that goes into it. There's a huge amount of work that goes into it. And I can tell you, I know this intimately because I've taken them apart hundreds of times. I founded a clothing brand entirely created from left behind and salvaged campsite waste. Taking apart a tent is a pain in the... Okay, what? I'm probably not allowed. We're podcasting. We're podcasting over here. But they're a very intricate piece, and taking them apart makes you really understand the amount of construction work that goes into them. Watch a little YouTube video and start to gain an appreciation for what it is, and then you'll start to understand why you want to be reusing it and reusing it. If you're free later on, pop over. I'm actually going to give myself a little plug now.
Do it. Do it. We're going to ask you anyway.
Great. Okay. Yeah. I'm probably jumping around a bit. But we have a little stall set up in here. We're called Attention Attire, and we make clothing and accessories all reconstructed from leftover campsite waste. So have a little look.
Amazing. I think that links in with... oh, yeah. And your dress was... tailored by Debbie from Attention Attire.
Fantastic.
So we're repping.
Rocking it.
But I think it's interesting what you say there, Megan, because I think that links in to what we were saying, that people are losing the connection with where things are coming from, yeah, and 100%. The craftsmanship that is going into things, and the resources, and how resource heavy things are. So it's just this kind of disposable nature, because I will openly admit that, you know, back in the day when I was at Electric Picnic, I did leave a tent. I did. I'm admitting it. Because it's these lies that you're fed of that it's going to be picked up and it goes to charity.
Oh, the scouts.
But like,
are
where do
in.
We hear? Yeah. Oh my gosh. My friend, where did the Boy Scout thing come from? Like, that's just weird.
It's not, and actually, the scouts do come into some of the festivals and they do a little bit of salvaging. But when you look at a festival that's 52,000 people, it's impossible to make a dent in it if everybody leaves their stuff behind. So that's where the real issue is. There are charities that come in and they try and do a little bit. But if you think about it, a tent that's been left behind and has been sessioned in for 4 days is in fairly grotty state. So it's pretty unusable anyway. So it's about being respectful and being tidy, because it's a huge amount of waste. I actually wrote down some scary figures because you guys asked me for some shocking facts.
Do it.
Yeah, let's go, stats.
Nerd.
Yeah. I'm a nerd as well. So I was looking at the Irish Independent article that came out there about a month and a half ago, and they were stating that 10.69 kilos of waste came out of the Electric Picnic last year. 52,000 people. I'll get to it though, you'll see. At 52,000 people, that equates to 555 tons, 92 African elephants worth of waste out of one festival. Now, I know it's the biggest one we have, but it's so much in
We're
one
only
festival
small
in
island,
one year.
Like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's some scary facts.
Well, is there anything positive you'd like to leave people with, aside from going to see Native events? attentionattire.ie, anything else? D-Light Studios, that
D-Light
the other
Studios,
one?
Yeah. The positive things is that people are beginning to get an appetite for this, realise what's going on, and the change is definitely happening. Our Us and You campsite here has grown from 500 to 4,500 people. People are really starting to feel the need and understand what's going on. So that's really, really positive. So the more that all of you talk to your friends about it, gain an understanding about it, and start to realise and respect the things that you have and the people around you and the earth around you, then we will make a change. We just need to make it really, really quickly.
Yes. Woo!
Jump round of applause again.
Woo! So before we do, well, would you like to judge the crowns?
Love to. Show me your crowns. Did you write winner on your crown, Niall? I love it.
Does anyone want to come up on the stage? You want to do a little show?
Yeah. Let's do it. Oh, shiv. That is gorgeous.
Guys, you're loving this.
It does say it on his crown. Well, and maybe anyone who has a crown, maybe you want to stand up?
Yeah, just so I can see them all. No, they don't want to. They're shy.
Come on, I don't want to quote Eminem.
Does that make
you stand
break
up?
The ice? No. I'm kind of feeling this one.
Are you?
Yeah, I think so. Did
it's
you make
his
that
enthusiasm.
Yourself? Yeah.
Have you not seen his
it's
outfit?
All about the triangles of Body and Soul this year, isn't it?
It is. We're very geometric.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah.
Okay, come up.
Well done.
We didn't say it. So... Oh, stop.
Does anyone have any questions for Megan while she's still here? Any burning issues? Anything you want to know about the festival? How to be more sustainable? Maybe you want to volunteer with Attention Attire?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Jump on board. For the festival.
So yeah. I'm just going to repeat the question. Do you have targets for the festival for the next few years?
Yeah, I mean, when we launched the sustainability strategy, it was actually to be a 3 to 5 year strategy. So every year we wanted to seek to improve. When we started the strategy, we were only on 17% recycling rates. And as I say, we're now at 65 and we're aiming for 75% this year. So every year we're just striving to improve. And what we do is we use the previous year as a benchmark in order to decide what's going to happen next. So the idea is that the targets are around transport waste, power usage and so on. But yeah, the only way to make progress is to realise where you are and then to reach for something more.
Like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, Megan. That was
Thank
really
you for
interesting.
Having me. This is fun.
Yay.
Can I do more stuff up here on stage?
Well, we're just going to
mention
a few. Yes, thank you. A few.
Everyone, round of applause for Megan.
Thank you, Megan. Woo!
So we're going to leave you with some good news stories because that was a lot of information, right?
Mm-hmm. So there was a Guinness World Record this week.
Yes. Okay. So a Guinness World Record was broken as 633 divers in Florida did a massive ocean clean and cleaned the ocean floor, and they retrieved at least 1,626 pounds of trash and 60 pounds of fishing line. So when we're thinking about our, you know, straws and our cups, obviously, yes, they can make their way into the ocean. But I think it's 46%. Yeah, 46% of the ocean waste is actually plastic fishing line. So that's something to be really conscious about. So we need to keep lobbying for mm-hmm. the government. But it is a good news story.
Yeah, you're like, but it is good
but
news.
It is good.
And then also we found that we can now make biodegradable plastic from cactus juice. From cactus juice on edible food packaging made from seaweed.
I think our liquid breakfast is catching up with us here.
Hey, this is me sober. Don't judge.
And finally, The Guardian in the UK has actually changed its language in the terms when it comes to, you know, just saying like more passive terms, like, you know, instead of saying we want to say climate crisis, we want to say climate breakdown, not just climate change. We know that the climate is changing. Like that's, you know, that's 10 years ago. So passé, mm-hmm. you know, so it's really good that they're taking note of this. And I don't know if you guys are up for it, but would anyone like to tweet the government together right now? Yeah? No?
Maybe yes, tweet. We got
yes.
A yes.
One? Like we could tweet Richard Bruton and tell him like, you know, please follow up with this climate action plan. All these people here care. You into it? Well, if you are, and you're, you don't want to shout about it, his handle is Richard Bruton TD in capital. Okay? So if you want to tweet him, tell him, hey, I'm a body and soul.
And I care.
I'm using reusables and we care. Yeah?
Woo!
Yeah?
So just a final note is that next month, July, is plastic-free July.
Yes.
So anything that we've spoken about today, even if it's just a really small change that you make in your day-to-day life, it does make a difference. So yeah, just bringing your coffee cup or your reusable bottle. And
tell your friends.
Yes, tell your friends. This episode will be available to download. You guys will be in a part of it.
Woo!
Next Friday. And if you aren't following us already, you can find us on Instagram at Climate Queens Podcast. And you can give us a listen. And yeah, big thanks to Native Events for having us.
Yeah.
And thank you to all of you for partaking and being here and just being so cool and enthusiastic. And woo, let's go change the world.
Yeah.
Woo!
Thanks, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to our third episode highlighting the importance of reusables. We want to give some special shout outs first to Claire O'Connor for inviting us down to the 10th anniversary of Body and Soul. We had such a great time. To Rory from Native Events who helped make this episode possible, and to everyone who joined us in the Living Lab area who told their friends about us, and thank you for listening now.
As always, thanks to Ben for the mics and April for editing. We would love if you could rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening from. And do follow us on Instagram at Climate Queens Podcast for updates and let us know what you'd like to hear about next. P.S. Don't forget to make a plastic-free pledge for Plastic Free July. Bye!